You've heard a couple of passages that talk about predestination. Here's one related to it. In John, the 15th chapter, verses 12 through 16, Jesus says some important things. And I'll emphasize the verse that talks about this too. John 15, 12, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you." Verse 16, here it is. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." My father worked for many years for Reynolds Metals Company. He worked in the personnel department, or now called human resources, of course. And he hired a lot of people over the course of the years. One time, Dad was telling me he was interviewing a young man for a position in the company. And he noticed on his resume, his biographical, that his early years of college, his grades were abysmal, just in the tank. But then he changed majors, and his grades were just excellent, wonderful, fantastic. My dad asked him about that phenomenon. And the young man said, "Oh, yeah, those early years of college. That's where my dad flunked out of law school." Aha! In one sentence, that young man said volumes about what had transpired, right? The young man's father obviously had predestined him to become an attorney, a lawyer. But that's not what this young man wanted to do. When he chose what he really wanted to do, he was engaged in the process. That, in a nutshell, as part of it, is the best way I know how to understand what the Bible refers to in several places as predestination when talking about the will of God. Now, at the beginning of the service, Pat read for us from the 8th chapter of Romans in verse 29, where Paul says, "For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son." You can't hear what the Bible says about what God predestines us for without hearing what it is. When Jesus says he chose us for something here in John 15, he says, "I chose you to bear fruit. I predestined you," Paul says, God says in Romans, "to do what? Be like Jesus, to be in the likeness of his Son." Susan read from Ephesians 1, another passage that talks about predestination. But if you understand it to mean that God chooses some people to be his children and chooses some people not to be his children, I hope you don't believe that. I hope you don't understand that that is what the Bible means when it talks about predestination. For the life of me, I can't see where that is correct. Do you think that's what the Bible teaches? God chooses some people to be saved and some people to be damned, and there is nothing you can do about it. That's what some people understand predestination to be. It's not hard for me to imagine that a Christian can die, go to heaven, and meet all the people who are already up there, be walking around and talking to them. And a whole lot of people want to talk to the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, right? And they want to check out, is this what you were saying, or is that what you were saying? Is this what you meant, or that? And I would not be at all surprised if the Apostle Paul listens to them time and time again and patiently hears them out. And if he doesn't so many times finish listening to them making their case about what he was writing about, and then he smacks his forehead or he stomps his foot and says, "No, that's not what I meant at all. Here's what I meant. I would not be at all surprised if the Apostle Paul didn't do this a few million times with this word and these kind of passages. Paul, this is what you meant, wasn't it? And he'd say, no, that's not what I was talking about at all. If you want to find a formal declaration of the mistaken belief that God chooses who is saved and who is not, read the Westminster Confession of the Church of Scotland. Or talk to a primitive Baptist. Do any of you have primitive Baptist background? Maybe some of you do. But that's a prominent belief in the primitive Baptist system is it's all up to God. 100%, lock, stock, and barrel. But what does predestination mean? Of course, God does choose. That's clearly asserted. You have to have that and hold on to that because that is true. You see it so often in the Old Testament. God chooses this person. God chooses that person. You see it in the experience of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They were chosen. Moses is chosen. Samson is chosen. Esther, Samuel, Elijah, and on it goes. And you flip over to the New Testament and you find all sorts of people who are chosen too. Jesus walks up to these guys and Peter, follow me. James, come on. John, I'm choosing you. And the list is long one there. All the followers of Jesus, Mary, Joseph, Timothy, Stephen, even Paul himself are all chosen. It's a fact. God chooses. God always acts first. He's the prime mover of creation and history, and he's guiding our lives. But does that mean that he forces the conclusion? Does that mean that he runs over our will and makes us do stuff we don't want to do or think or carry out? Does he do that? Actually, this kind of question is directly related to something else we were talking about 2 weeks ago. You asked about, is God good? What about the goodness of God? And we asserted that God, oh yes, God is good. Last week we talked about the will of God. Do you remember the part about the intentional will of God? That God has intentions, that he has purposes, he has plans. They're all good and all good for us. But are they carried out? These are all related together, and even predestination falls in its direct connection to the intentional will of God, his plans and his desires. But if you say, well, God chooses who goes to heaven and God chooses who goes to hell and there's nothing you can do about it, then you have to throw out a whole lot, most of the rest of the Bible. That's laying it out for you there because you have a choice and urging you to choose and urging you to believe in Christ and find life and so forth. John 3:16 we read this morning, what does it say? Who believes in him? Whosoever believes in him. Whoever believes in him can have everlasting life. Underline the word whoever because it means anybody, anytime, anywhere. John ends his gospel by explaining, I've written all these things to you for a purpose, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ and that you might find life in him. I've written all this to try to persuade you to trust him. So you obviously have a will. God doesn't make you do anything. God extends the invitation to everybody, but not everybody accepts the invitation. The Bible clearly says that it is his will that every human being he's ever made to live happy and with him and in fellowship with him. And if you don't want to, if you want to reject him, he's not going to drag you kicking and screaming into the kingdom of God. He loves and respects us that much. If you were to read past the passage that Pat read a little while ago, Romans 8, 29 through 30, when Paul talks about being predestined for something, he says clearly there, God wants us to be like Jesus. Then he goes on to emphasize how much God is going to stick with you, seeing that it happens. If that's what you want to happen, God is going to make it happen with you. If you choose God back, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And he goes through a list of all the possibilities that he can think of. And he said, none of those can separate you from God. And he says there, if you trust him, you'll come out a winner. You will be victorious. It's amazing. Now, if God does all the choosing and you have no say in the matter, you can also rip out the book of Revelation because it doesn't work. Throughout 20 through 22 majestic chapters, he's trying to convince you to choose Christ back. Don't fall away. Don't be unfaithful. Don't give up your relationship with Christ to choose the world. You obviously have a choice to do so. And he argues and reasons and urges with people to keep trusting Christ, even if it means death. We have a choice. We have a choice. Predestination then simply refers to what God wants done in our lives, his plan, his purpose, his ideals. If an employer has an employee who is just a model employee and follows all the rules and does all the processes and does things just great, doesn't he tend to say, hey, look at her. She's a model employee. I wish everybody was like her. She's excellent. The employer can predestine all of his employees to be just like this. But can he make all of his employees be as good as this girl right here? Nope. He can hope that they would be, intention that they would be, work for them to be, but they're the ones that choose. If one of your children is sweet and kind and considerate, you may say, boy, I wish all my kids were like this. If you are God, you look at Jesus and you say, you know, I wish everybody were like my boy here, Jesus. Are you? Raise your hand if you're like Jesus.
No.
I thought so. Right. Last week I mentioned again the man who had two sons. Jesus told this story. You might say that the father in that story who had two sons, he predestined both of them to stay at home, work on his farm, be happy, involved, prosperous parts of the family. That was what the father predestined both of his sons to do. But you know the story. The younger one said, I don't want it. I want my inheritance now, and I'm out of here. Give it to me. And the father gave it to him, and he let him go. He wasn't following his plan. The young man was following his plan. And when he was in Vegas, and he was broke and busted and eating cigarette butts off the sidewalk, well, that's when he came to himself and said, whoa, wait a minute. You remember that story. But the point here today is the father predestined his son for something, but the son didn't find it until he chose to get in step with his father's plan. And it was better than he even imagined. Any of you coach baseball, basketball, softball, little league, or anything like that? You do? Do you ever predestine a plan to be followed for the players? A coach can predestine a plan. It's going to be a long pass that's going to go way on in there and score a touchdown. Oh, he can predestine all he wants to, right? Who's it up to? The players. That quarterback and the 10 other guys on the squad, did they execute their plays right and accordingly and enthusiastically? Well, the coach can't help that, can he? Nope. You smacked your head many a time, haven't you, Pat? Bless your heart. And it's not only up to the team, though. It's also up to the defense on the other side. They have a whole lot to do with it, and they can foil it and spoil it, right? So a whole lot of the plan can go wrong. You get it? Predestination? What's in the Father's will? God calls the plays, but we run the plays. The people who say God makes everything happen, including those who are saved and those who are not, have made a mistake. They have pushed the sovereignty of God too far. Okay? They've pushed it too far. He is the God who can control all things and all people, but he is the God who chooses not to control all things and all people. Predestination refers simply to what God wants done. That's all. It is not a matter of numbers where God says, okay, the first 77 people in line are saved. Oh, you're number 78? Oh, I'm sorry, you're out of luck. I'm sorry, I don't care what you want. I only planned on 77, and you're number 78. What kind of a God is that? This line is closed. Uh-uh. You read your Bible, you find a door in the Bible, it's always open. Open. Whosoever will may come. Whoever believes in him can have eternal life. But this little thing called predestination trips people up. You know, Delta Airlines can predestine flight number 647 to go to Atlanta. It is predestined to go to Atlanta. Unless you get on the plane, you ain't going to Atlanta, are you? No matter how much it is predestined and planned to go. And likewise, God has predestined and scheduled all of us to arrive in his kingdom. But if you don't show up and get on the plane, you ain't going. It's as simple as that. You know, Forrest Gump. Did you see the movie Forrest Gump? Who hasn't seen Forrest Gump? It is a great movie. It raises great questions about why things happen to us in life. And it raises the question, do we experience things that are imposed on us? And are we just like a feather blown around in the wind? Or do we get to choose? Do we get to choose? Earlier in the movie, Forrest is talking to his mama. His mama's dying. And he asks her, he says, "What's my destiny, Mama?" And she says, "I don't know, Forrest. You just have to find it for yourself." Then at the very end of the movie, his beloved Jenny, his wife Jenny, who he eventually married, and they have a son, she dies. She dies, and there's this scene where he goes to her grave. Let's see that. Forrest asks a question when he's at the grave.
"It's about to do, so I just leave it here for you. I don't know if Mama was right or if it's Lieutenant Dan. I don't know if we each have a destiny or if we're all just floating around accidental like on a breeze. But I think maybe it's both. Maybe both is happening at the same time. I miss you, Jenny. If there's anything you need, I won't be far away."
Okay, quit crying and listen, okay? Forrest Gump, who is so stupid, has it so right. I think it's both. Both happening at the same time. Can you explain that? No, it's a mystery. There's one other little segment that comes right at the end of the movie. At the beginning of the movie, we've watched a feather floating through the sky, floating around here or there, and then finally litting real close to Forrest Gump, and we pick up on his life and see his life and all the things he does and goes through. And what do we see at the end of the movie? We see that feather once again. Let's watch it.
I hear when you get back.
You understand this is the bus to the school now, don't you?
Of course. The new Dorothy here is 9-4 Stump.
Floating around until it finally comes right into your face, as if to say, hey, dear viewer, isn't that your life like that? It's a puzzle, it's a mystery, but you know where it starts. The good news for every human being on this planet is simply this: God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Revelation 3:20 says, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Can I come in? I'd like to come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would just open the door and come in, open the door, I will come in to him or her and have fellowship, and them with me. I'm knocking. That's what I want. I want it very, very much. When you understand what God wants, the big question becomes for you, do you want Him to? Do you want Him back? It's up to you.